You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Drabb and Valdez here. March Madness is here, and Crab Sports is giving all new customers up to $500 in free bets after they place their first qualifying bet. Crab Sports is also offering up to 50% boost on all of college basketball parlays.
The more legs you place, the higher the profit boost you will receive. That's awesome because I love doing parlays, especially during the NCAA tournament. If you're betting the tournament, make sure you bet locally with Crab Sports. I love Crab Sports. Drabb loves Crab Sports. We love Derek. We love everything about him. Terms and conditions apply. Please gamble responsibly, unlike Shohei Ohtani. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 years of age and older.
All right, let's go.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt. Who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season. This is 123. I'm Drabb T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
Hope everybody is listening to this episode on their way to their local bar or restaurant or sports book. Or
Buffalo Wild Wings are hot right now. B-dubs.
Hey, I got
Glory Days would be hot right now. Hey, you know what? I thought of something. Episode 123, parlay all the 1, 2, and 3 seeds together.
I'll do it. I'll do it as soon as I get out of here.
It's an omen.
It's an omen. All right. We're all doing that. Crab Sports, if you're in Maryland.
Yeah.
Let's do the 1, 2, and 3s all to advance. Yeah, let's see what that payout is.
The episode 123 parlay.
Hey, guys. Hope everybody's doing well. This really is one of the best days of the year. Obviously, Valdez and I, we focus on non-sports topics on this show, but
it's just a fun hang. It's a fun get-together.
We love gambling, and who doesn't love sports betting? And
especially starting at noon.
At noon. It really is incredible. Valdez, I got to be honest, though. I am completely, as far as conspiracies go, I know we've been talking a lot about Kate Middleton on the show and behind the scenes. I'm completely enthralled by this Shohei Ohtani conspiracy.
I was stuck on Twitter last night reading all of the conspiracies about how he was the runner for Shohei. Of course, Shohei knew. Of course, he's Pete Rose. He's the golden boy. He's the golden child. They've been marketing the hell out of him. He's going to have I can't wait for the Dodgers to come back stateside because I can't. Usually I hate when the press swarm on somebody, but I'm going to get a kick out of it when they swarm on Ohtani.
Well, the golden boy is right. And you would have just, if every player in baseball, if you would have thought one guy wouldn't be involved in something like this, it would be Ohtani.
No. I read something and it made
he's like the Tim Tebow of baseball.
It made me scratch my head and it made me think. Someone was saying the same things, like, all you people out there think Ohtani couldn't do this or Ohtani would never do this. And they go, dude, Ohtani had a secret wife and a secret marriage that nobody knew about.
Oh, that's a good point. I guess we really don't know.
The guy gets sized for secrets.
I was loving Twitter last night. When Twitter gets going and there's just like a meme fest.
It's when like the certain group of Twitter,
right?
You know what I mean, like gambling Twitter was taking over.
Smartass Twitter was taking over.
But like the faction of smartass Twitter and gambling Twitter were taking over. That's when it was getting good. Just like when black Twitter was roasting Meek Mill.
Yeah,
it's the same exact thing.
So I can't, we're going to have Brandon Lang on tomorrow, old school.
Oh, is that confirmed?
Yeah.
Oh,
because,
great.
Not because, you know, we got to get his picks or anything like that. But I was talking to Valdez, and I think we need insight from somebody who place large bets.
Someone in that world.
In that world. Like, what kind of what credit is like? How much credit does somebody get? Why would the interpreter be able to be $4.5 million in debt to a bookie without if Ohtani wasn't placing the bets? Right. And maybe he might say that's normal or that's possible. I actually have no idea, but I want to get his thoughts on it because this is juicy, dude.
Yeah, and Brandon's always great, especially with juicy stuff like this. Too. Mm-hmm. Remember when he would call in about the Tiger Woods affair? I'm expecting that type of performance from Brandon tomorrow.
If you don't know who Brandon Lang is, he hasn't been on the show in a few years. I know a lot of you guys do know him, but he is a well-known sports bettor. He was
the inspiration for Two for the Money, starring Matthew McConaughey, which, by the way, I don't know who he off to get that to get that casting.
I always think Brandon Lang's good radio.
I think he's great radio,
and hopefully so he'll be on at 8:20 tomorrow. But just know that I am, even though it's March Madness Day, the Ohtani thing in my world has completely upstaged it. I know you're mad at Chris Russell behind the scenes here, though, because Chris is taking shots at March Madness and college basketball, and I always like a little behind-the-scenes drama. I don't think you've even talked to Russell about it, but you were kind of stomping around a little bit. You were angry about Chris Russell taking shots at college basketball.
Well, I don't understand what Chris is doing. Like, you're hosting a sports radio show,
mm-hmm.
right? And this March Madness, along with the Super Bowl, along with, I mean, I don't know, the NBA Finals, maybe. No, probably not. The Masters. It's a big event in the sports world. And Chris Russell's doing this thing of nobody knows anything about college basketball. Nobody knows anything about these colleges and teams. Nobody knows about any of the star players,
which I find a bit ironic coming from Chris Russell, because Russell's known as the guy who says we should be talking more hockey on the show.
Yeah,
and we're like, Chris, nobody cares about hockey, especially outside the local team. No, but it's our job to talk about it, to make people care about it. That's what he always says.
I know, and now he's doing a complete 180 mm-hmm. About how, you know, football is just this juggernaut that will never be knocked off, and why are we going to waste our time talking about the tournament? Well, like, don't you get caught up in the pageantry of this all and how much fun the day is, and you know, it's rooting for the underdog. It's not about knowing who Dalton Knecht is, right? It's about rooting for the underdog or finding a story, or rooting for Long Beach State because their coach is coaching for free. It's those type of things.
Now, I need some clarification from you, because you obviously are Mr. Brackets are due by 3 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I also thought you don't fill out brackets.
No, I fill out one bracket.
Oh, you're a one bracket guy.
Yeah. You're not allowed to have 20 brackets and then all of a sudden, hey, I got my final four right in my bracket.
That's right. I hate that guy.
That's not allowed. You have one bracket mm-hmm. that you do in Sharpie, okay,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and that is your bracket to claim. And then you're not allowed. Hey, this is my upset bracket. This is my all chalk bracket.
I'm after the show today. I will print off my bracket. And I will tape it to the wall.
Yeah, that's what I do. Is I keep mine right there for uh-huh. everyone to see. Those are my final four. That's right there. And
all right.
And you know what I do is I also in all of my bracket contests is I actually try to keep it similar. Like, I don't hedge myself. Like, I don't have.
No, I'm yeah. Well, like, you're a one bracket guy.
Yeah, I don't have one bracket that has McNeese State and then the other bracket have Gonzaga.
No, that's illegal in my world. Because
I keep it. Throughout, I'm not hedging myself between different pools. If I go big.
I'm convinced I will, at one day in my life, get all of them right.
You mean the final four, or a perfect bracket?
No, like before the show, when I saved my bracket, I looked at it, I said, you know, this might have a shot.
This one feels good.
this might be the year someone actually does it. Of course,
is Warren Buffett still offering that
$1 billion? The prizes are so nubby now. It's like $5,000. It's awful.
That's a crumb of Bitcoin.
Hey, so speaking of betting,
but hold on, just to put a bow on it, that mm-hmm. is my beef with Chris Russell.
Oh.
No, with Russell. That's my 70-30 ground beef of the day with Russell is that he's I don't know. It's almost like I'm justifying why I don't know anything. And look, I don't know anything. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'm just learning about some of these teams after the selection show.
Yeah,
right?
You learn it. Yeah,
you're
learning
like
as you go.
Yeah,
if you haven't watched, I mean, some of the obviously the big teams you should know about if you're a sports fan, but not everybody has got a chance to watch Grand Canyon basketball this year.
Yeah, I'm sure Chris Russell doesn't know Buzz Williams coaches Mississippi State.
I'm sure he has no idea. All right, speaking of betting, and this is a behind the scenes junkie show. We didn't really read the letter that was kind of alluded to earlier in the show.
Oh, yeah.
And so yesterday we had our Roadhouse screening, which we will, of course, talk more about. But we met a guy named Terrence before the show. I think he drove up from Norfolk. Really nice guy. And first off, he did a terrible bit. I've never been more disappointed. I'm just going to take you into my mindset, okay?
Okay.
So he's like waiting for us out, but I didn't even see. I actually never saw Valdez there yesterday. I think I got there a little bit after.
You got there late, didn't you?
I got there like 11:40 or something like that.
No.
11:45 maybe.
No, because I walked in like at 11:55.
No chance. I was standing out in the concessionary. Maybe I had my back turned or something.
I was looking around. I mean, it's pretty big, but I was looking around and I didn't see you. The only person I saw was Cakes, JP. I saw Jason when he walked into the theater. He said hi to everyone, and I didn't even see Eric.
But I don't know. Yeah,
I didn't see Mar. But anyways,
so let me see. Did you get an envelope before you walked in there?
No, I saw JP, and then JP says, "Hey, some guy has an envelope for you." And I said, "Oh." He goes, "Yeah, I have it. Let me hand it to you." It's the guy who's wearing this. I said, "Dude, I'm sitting right next to him." Mm-hmm. And so I got the envelope, and then I held it up to his face, and I said, "Hey, thanks for this. I really appreciate it. I'll open it after the movie."
All right, so this just takes you into my mindset. So we meet Terrence, and he's super nice, and he says, "Hey, I got something for you." And he says, "I've been a fan of the show for 20-something years, and this is just a little bit of a token of my appreciation," or something very similar to that, right?
Okay.
Hey. And he breaks out an envelope, okay, and he hands it to me.
All right, envelopes are...
And the very first thing that goes through my head is, I can't accept this, right?
Uh-huh.
Because back... All the way back to the age I was 24 or 25 on Big O and Dukes as their producer. There used to be, every once in a while, there would be listeners, I'm sure this has happened to you, that would come by and like hand us money, right? and I remember there was this guy named Eckhart used to do it every once in a while. And it was like $400, $500. Now, this was back when I was on Felt Street and I probably made $30,000 and I think listeners kind of knew. And so every once in a while, they would just get sized to give us money, the guys that were doing well. Chad Dukes killed me for it. And he made me feel 2 inches tall, right?
For accepting
money. He said, don't you ever do that. Don't ever accept money from a listener. And I always kind of blew him off. And I would pretend like I wouldn't take money, but then I really would. You know,
you would just do it. You would do it, but you would do it very
sneaky.
But
I always have this shame in the back of my head. Like,
oh, no. Well, it is kind of shameful, but. You can kind of talk yourself into it with going, you know what, I kind of worked for this money instead of just someone handing it to
Who am I to spit in someone's face who wants to do something nice?
Great point, Drew.
Okay, like it's insulting not to take money if someone's offering it to you.
It's a great point.
Okay, it would be insulting. And so it's kind of...
It's almost the, are you sure, right? You ask them, are you sure you want to do this? And if they say yes...
You always say, are you sure? Okay, thank you. And so he hands us the envelope, and I immediately give it a little pinch, and I know it's cash. And I know it's a nice stack of cash, okay?
I just imagine you pinching that envelope like you're pinching your wife's hiney.
Everybody knows what a small stack of cash feels like. So, and it's sealed. The envelope is sealed. It says Drabby on it.
Okay. Even bigger.
Stash it in my pocket because I don't want to make like a scene. Yeah. Or make anyone feel weird. I'm sitting next to Michael Marr and Zach Kruger. Let me tell you something. The entire movie, Valdez.
You can feel it in your
ass cheeks. I can feel it in my ass cheeks. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how much money's in there. What am I going to be able to buy with this? What bill am I going to be able to knock off with this?
Hey, is it under your left or right cheek?
It's under my right cheek. I can't. When I tell you I patted it to make sure it was still there 40 times, I patted it 40 times.
Hey, were you doing the, all right, my right cheek is about 5 centimeters larger than my left cheek. So let's do the math. 5 centimeters, that's probably 5 bills.
Mm-hmm. Dude, 100%. It was more so the weight and just like the texture of it.
Because if you get the envelope, it's very weighty.
Let me see, because I took it out. Yeah, I mean, it's very obviously cash in there. So I'm patting it all the time. And then I start daydreaming in the middle of the movie. I'm like, what happened if there's $500 in there? What happened? This guy went crazy and he put $1,000 in there.
Yeah, because he all the years, that's also code.
He said all the years or something. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is the big one.
Yeah.
This guy drove up here from Norfolk. And then I'm like, I'm going to Spain in a few weeks, which I am. And I'm like, that was spending money for Spain, all kinds
Euros,
of stuff.
What's the Euro doing?
So then I wait forever. The movie's over and I wait for everyone to clear out. And I wait till I get to my car. Before I even start up, I sit in my car and I go, like, all right, it's time. I open the envelope and I take out what I see. What I see is cash. It's very obviously cash, but the cash is wrapped in a letter. Okay, like a letter, and it's so you can't really see how much cash is in there.
Can I add also that I don't know if yours had this, but mine had a paperclip.
Paperclip, yes, the cash I could tell was paperclip together, and it looked like, telling you, a nice stack of cash.
Yeah, and when you feel that paperclip, that makes you think, okay, this is a secured amount of cash. And usually, when you go to a casino or bank or something like that, they will put it in a paperclip for you.
So, almost to tease myself, Valdez, I closed my eyes and I took the cash out without looking at it and put it on my seat because I don't want to be rude. You don't want to open the present before you read the card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so you're doing a karma bit.
I'm doing a karma bit. I'm doing it all. Like, And I look down at the paper and it's wrapped. And in penmanship, like in someone's handwritten on there, it says, I'm reading it now, for 27 plus years of entertainment and stupid bets. Okay, I'm really focusing on the 27 years of entertainment. Yeah. I'm like, all right, well, I haven't been here for 27 years, but I've been here a big portion. All right, and I open up, and it's a typed letter. And it's like a couple hundred words, typed letter. And it talks about how long he's been listening. The junkies made him feel good after Redskins lost to the Giant, the Gus Frat game.
Uh-huh. It's chronicling the first time he listened to the show.
All right. So I'm reading that. And I've loved your show ever since. You guys have entertained me for thousands of hours as a 15-year-old boy who turned the radio on. Now I'm a 41-year-old man. I followed the podcast from Vegas to Florida, now to Portsmouth, Virginia. Now I get to the last paragraph. My favorite part of the show is the gambling with each other about the dumbest possible things. I'd like to enable this degeneracy. Please use these 10 $2 bills to bet on EB's ignorance or Drab's toilet training timetable or whatever else comes to mind. I hope these bills circulate the show for years to come. I look over and it's 10 $2 bills sitting in my passenger seat. I was deflated, dejected, demoralized.
Well, here's the problem is you got your hopes up.
I got my hopes up.
You got your I appreciate that he included bit season too in there. So I do appreciate that. But here, I figured out why you're not upset, but why this kind of rocked your world or why you have so much venom.
Yeah.
It's because he's betting on the timetable of your potty training.
No. That's not it at all. That's fine.
Because I know you hate the fact that people are all in your business
I didn't really like that.
About when Blake and Tinsley end up getting potty trained.
Yeah, they're potty trained. Okay. No, actually kind of I like the fact that he included me in this generic letter that he gave to 6 different people. But here's what ricked me. Just say, hey, big fan of the show. I got a great idea. In fact, his idea is a fantastic idea. Terrence, your idea is awesome. In fact, we've talked about it to the guys, and it's something we definitely want to do. But you getting me sized, thinking I had a stack of hundreds in that envelope,
Drab
was unfair.
Drab thought he had back pay for all the hours that he's entertained you.
10 $2 bills. I like the fact that he clearly had to go to the bank and like arrange all this stuff.
Uh-huh. Or he's a collector of $2 bills.
That's possible, but they look very crisp.
Did we figure out why $2 bills?
Just maybe,
so it doesn't get mixed up with our own money and
probably
stuff like that.
Probably, but also I think Cakes at one point said because of inflation you need $2 bets now or something like that.
Oh, that was yeah.
Somebody said something like that. The $2 bill bet is fantastic. I'm actually disappointed in myself
that we didn't come up with it.
So now you have a unique bill.
Yeah, it's almost like the price is right.
It's our own currency.
Yeah.
It doesn't get mixed up with anything else. I said that we should highlight each one, that you don't have to, just so you know, like,
whose bills.
Mark each one so you know whose bills are what floating around in the circulation. And you really can't, here's the thing, I can never even cash this $20 out. It's just going to float around forever. It might go up to $80. Hey, it might disappear.
Someone send Drab $20 so that he gets out of there.
I don't need the money. I know. It was the
tease.
The tease
is not what you wanted.
He was bending over in front of me with lingerie, right? And then said.
His supple butt cheeks right in front of you.
Yeah. And then said, oops, not tonight. Yeah. That's what happened.
Hey, he was massaging you, rubbing your shoulders.
Yeah, he gave me blue balls.
Yeah. And then it said, I feel fat, not tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Drabby.
Was I the only one thinking that there might be a nice stack?
I knew, honestly, it felt like it. It felt like money, but I just...
You were into Jake Gyllenhaal.
In my head, it's just, I mean, what are the odds someone's just going to give you a stack of cash? That's what's going through my head. Like,
yeah, it's rare, but it happens every once in a while.
Well, that's happened to you more often, I feel like,
listeners have given you money before, like at the Borgata or something.
Okay, but that's like, I mean, not like $400 like you said.
I mean, you never know. Okay.
I just didn't know.
Let me tell you something. It wouldn't be the first time I was handed $500 cash by a listener.
I like what you're doing. I like what you're doing.
Now you're making me seem like I'm angling. Don't do that.
Everyone, that's Drab t-shirt saying that.
No, it was the tease of it.
Yes, I know. It was the tease.
But I do like the fact that we can now make $2 bets on the show. I do.
And also, you know,
and instant payouts.
We do appreciate the generosity of Terrence and listeners.
For sure. It was
like you said, it is a great
Terrence,
idea.
Even though
I enjoyed the letter. Thought the letter was a letdown. I liked it.
No, but you can be a junior producer of the day because that's good content that you came up with.
Yeah. You know how many people are going to be better they weren't named junior producer of the day, like Terrence?
We'll open that up. Junior producer of the week. A lot of know-it-alls on Twitter.
Yeah. All you got to do is go up to Drab and buy your way in with a good idea.
Did you enjoy, not necessarily the movie, are you still enjoying the screening with listeners?
I do.
Going
I like
to
it.
A free movie.
I like it. It's a great idea. I honestly think we should do one almost every month.
That's what the junkies would never go for it.
But,
I don't think.
But it's right up our listeners' alley.
I know. It's perfect. Not too many people come, but not too few where it's embarrassing. It provides content for the show.
You know how JP always talks about like how we need to be like getting out, mm-hmm. you know, doing more events, seeing more listeners, putting our face out there. I think this is a perfect way to do it. And it's kind of centrally located. I know the guys just bitch about traffic nonstop, but...
Oh, I know.
But I think it's a great idea to do it. And even, it doesn't have to be movies coming out, but, like, Amazon Prime movies that are coming out.
Well...
We have a relationship with that person, don't we? They have to be pleased.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for the movie theater. I mean, it's like a movie marketing company here locally. It hits us up every once in a while.
I know.
But I never ask. Like,
I know.
So I should start asking.
I think we should start asking.
And we're coming up soon on blockbuster season.
And also, I feel like it's good for the theater because I really enjoy that theater because the seats are nice. I mean, it's clean. and the concessions are nice.
I've never heard of Icon Tyson's, but every person nice, went in there was it? Like, oh, this place is awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean,
I'm going to bring my wife back here.
And the theater's not so big, at least the one that we're in.
No, I'm a very big fan of that situation.
I think we should do it.
The movie kind of stunk.
Yeah.
One guy, Phil, who I know, was screaming after the movie. Literally, the movie, I'm walking out, and he starts screaming, "That's the worst movie I've ever seen. That was so bad." And I started laughing.
Well, he thinks the person from Rotten Tomatoes is around.
He was just screaming the same thing. Acting was terrible, corny, campy, whatever you want to call it. I'm like, yeah, but I had fun. I wasn't bored.
It was awesome.
So he didn't see it that way. He wanted an Oscar-worthy film.
Hey, did you...
For free, by the way. Free popcorn. Free. He was angry.
How much popcorn did you eat?
Dude, I was entrapped. I'm telling you. I was locked in. I had no interest in popcorn. It was completely unfair. And I got Cork now texting me saying, I heard what you said on the show today. What happened to not one kernel? Mike, don't worry. Cork, don't worry. Not one kernel. I'm not having one kernel. What happened to that, Drab? And now he says on April 1st, you're going on a diet.
So he's
like, I mean, I'm supposed to be on a diet.
He's
but now
using the popcorn against you.
he's saying that. Grab my phone here. Starting April 1st, I'm going. He's overseeing my diet
he's
or something.
You have to report in?
Yeah.
You have to keep a food log? Oh,
April 1st, we are tracking food intake, giving you a two-week heads up.
Poor you.
Listening back, hearing about the popcorn, so much for I'm not going to have one single kernel, Mike. I'm not mad, just disappointed.
Are you impressed? Hey, are you impressed I didn't have popcorn?
Yeah, I guess.
I also ate my breakfast at 10:15.
Dude, I'm telling you, dude, popcorn, once you start, it is impossible to stop. And I blame Michael Marr. I passed the concession. I didn't have my own popcorn.
Did you have a soda?
He literally put it in my lap.
Did you have a soda?
Yeah, but caffeinated purpose. I don't want to fall asleep in the movie and be rude.
Coke Zero is...
That's prime nap time. Dark theater, middle of the day. Come on.
I figure you're good enough having a Coke Zero, but not the popcorn.
Like, that was the plan.
I know.
That
was the plan. Hey, speaking of movies,
yeah.
I really enjoyed your take on the latest James Bond.
Thank you. I came up with it in about 3 seconds.
I didn't know how to feel when I first saw the news and when I saw like the pictures of him, and it felt like something was off, but I couldn't pinpoint exactly what it was. And then when you finally said, "This guy's ugly," I go, that's what it is. Like, that's why I can't get behind this. This guy's too ugly to be Bond.
Yeah. I don't care if James Bond is not a white guy. I think some people care about that. Like, they've made a big deal about that in the fact. No, please. Idris Elba would have been an awesome
been
Bond.
Great.
I need a handsome Bond.
And suave.
Yeah. Somebody actually tweeted me, Valdez. Bond is not supposed to be good looking. He is a spy, supposed to blend into a crowd. You know what I tweeted him back?
I couldn't be more wrong.
I said, yeah, there's been a bunch of ugly Bonds over the years. They're like the most handsome guys on the planet every single time.
Yes, Bond is supposed to be debonair. He's supposed to be suave. He's supposed to be irresistible.
You tell me Pierce Brosnan blends into a crowd? Get out of here.
That slick back hair.
Yeah, so what's this new guy's name? Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Taylor Johnson.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. People said he was in Kick-Ass. I didn't realize he was the dork Kick-Ass. I didn't realize he was the guy in the green sweatsuit.
It's the long hair. Bond is not allowed to have long hair.
And the beard.
He can have long hair, but it's like Pierce Brosnan or Timothy Dalton's hair was kind of long. It was like big. It wasn't long. It was big. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, this guy, I want my Bond to be able to play for the Yankees. No facial hair, clean cut. Uh-huh. This guy looks like I'm sure they'll make him look better, but his features don't jump out at him. His big nose, his big forehead.
No jawline. Bond needs to have a jawline.
Yeah, he's got a tiny jaw. His wife is 60.
Like,
It
doesn't scream. He doesn't scream British Secret Service. Right,
no.
Because he looks like a little wimp.
I'm sure he's better looking than me.
But he doesn't scream British Secret Service.
I don't know. This picture's kind of good. Look at his smile on that one, though. He could maybe turn me around. Like, if he cuts his hair.
We got to do a Steinbrenner and do a whole makeover.
Clean him up.
Steinbrenner, whole makeover. I need to see what he looks like in a tuxedo.
I was, who are the other guys? Oh, Robert Pattinson and then Henry Cavill.
Yeah, I think Henry would have been the.
Yeah, but those guys, it is tough once you've made your mark as another character, being Superman or Pattinson, now Batman. Somebody was hyping up Paul Mezgal.
Who's he? I don't know who
he is. He's going to be in Gladiator 2 later this year. I think he's been in a bunch of smaller films.
Idris would have been a number one.
Idris Elba, but maybe he was too old. Maybe he's too old. I don't know how. Idris Elba's 51. Maybe not. I don't know.
Do you have a favorite Bond movie? Or no, you don't care?
Yes. Let me think about it. I was a big Roger Moore mark. But I don't know the names of them. Like, I know scenes that I like. I actually like Timothy Dalton. I like the snow skiing with Timothy Dalton. Everyone else hated that. I haven't seen, to be honest, like, memory wise, a lot of the Sean Connery ones. I've seen all the Roger Moore ones, all the Pierce Brosnan ones.
You need to watch the You Only Live Twice Sean Connery one. That's when he dresses like a Japanese man.
Oh, offensive.
Yeah, it's very offensive. It's actually what Austin Powers is mocking. Like,
oh, really?
Yes, where they have the spaceship that's eaten up by, like, the Bob's Big Boy.
What am I talking about? I've seen a ton of these Sean Connery ones.
I know you have.
I enjoyed Tomorrow Never Dies. Okay. With the first Pierce Brosnan one.
Yeah, that's actually the second Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, it is?
Yes, GoldenEye was the first Pierce.
Oh, okay. But
it's the second one with Elliot Carver and the Carver Media Group.
Is that the Cuba one? Which one do they go to Cuba with? The league?
That's GoldenEye.
Oh, okay. Hey, I didn't claim to be a Bond expert.
I know. But Tomorrow Never Dies is the one where they have the stealth boat and they're trying to get the Chinese to go to war against the British with the Carver Media Group. And they get a missile.
How many of these Bond movies do you watch a year?
Dude, I have a channel. So on my illegal TV.
Oh, there's a Bond channel?
There's a 24/7 Bond channel. And if you just want something on in the background, you just have it on in the background. And then when you've seen every Bond movie, you can...
So which one was Jaws in? The Spy Who Loved Me?
Spy Who Loved Me, yeah. Moonraker, and I think Diamonds Are Forever.
I'm a big Roger Moore guy. Is Roger Moore dead? He's got to be dead.
I think he died.
Yeah.
Didn't they do a whole...
Yeah, he died.
Thing about him?
Well, I hope so.
Roger Moore...
2017.
Roger Moore was like the more witty, charming Bond.
Very charming.
Yes. Sean Connery was a little more, Sean was charming, but he was also a little more action packed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Timothy Dalton was like the not rogue, but he was like the super stunt man kind of Bond.
And what would you categorize Pierce Brosnan as? Lame.
Pierce was kind of lame. He also, a lot of big duds with Die Another Day.
Mm-hmm.
The World Is Not Enough.
I don't even think I've seen the last two Bonds.
No Time to Die and Spectre.
Spectre with a Adele song.
Yeah.
Is that the Adele song one?
Yes. And they're celebrating Dia de los Muertos in Mexico.
Is that why you say Dia de los Muertos all the time?
Well, we also learned about it in Spanish.
Okay. I didn't really give this guy a chance, but I'll give him a chance. If he does sign on the dotted line.
I need to see what he looks like in a suit.
All right, let's take a quick break here. I'm intrigued about you got some issues with Cakes that I want to
pick
your brain about here.
Yes.
Some things, his conduct recently. All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's talk about Cakes and his behavior and find out what's bothering Valdez.
Hey, what's up? It's Valdez and Drab to tell you about our friends over at SeatGeek. It's tourney time. And if you want tickets to any of the NCAA tournament games at any of the locations for any of the sessions, I recommend using our friends over at SeatGeek.
My parents, honest to God, Valdez, used the SeatGeek app to buy tickets to go see the first round games at Spokane Arena. They're going to go see St. Mary's play. I think Alabama has to go all the way to Spokane. I think there's a couple more games that they're going to go see. Using the SeatGeek app, they looked for the green dot, found the best prices in the Spokane Arena, and they're going to have themselves a great time this week.
Yeah, not only sporting events, but SeatGeek has concerts, has festivals, has it all. There's over 70,000 events. Look, if you wanted to get a ticket in Seoul, Korea for the Padres-Dodgers series, I guarantee you, SeatGeek had you covered.
Here's what you're going to do. You're going to download the app. You're going to use the promo code BITSEASON.
Did your parents use the promo
code
BITSEASON? Of
course they did.
I know your dad's a skinflint, and he's going to want to save $20 off tickets with SeatGeek.
All right, guys, you do the same thing. Look for the green dot, the best deal. Download the app, use the promo code BITSEASON, and enjoy the game.
See you at the game.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 123. Yeah, I have cakes on the outline twice. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about with cakes.
All right.
First of all, I want to give him the praise that he deserves. I thought it was awesome on Friday night after his son, Kurt, found out where he's going to medical school.
Match day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was trying to remember exactly what it was called, but yes, match day. But Cakes was partying his ass off with his son in his, I guess, Baltimore row home or wherever he lives, his flop house apartment with all the other med students. So I think that's cool. I think it's also there's.
I don't understand. It's just not. I'm not in that realm. What? How can they be matched? I guess it's like being accepted to college when you're a senior or something, but what happens if you just like bomb out here for the next month or two before graduation, before you get your white coat?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And it also, but that's also why I had a little bone to pick with cakes.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, I wanted to praise him. I felt all grown up because I saw Kurt in college a lot when he was at the University of Maryland,
mm-hmm.
when we went to games and he would come to the tailgate with his friends all the time. So a little part of me cried when I saw.
Oh, you're like a proud father.
Yeah, like
he's not really his father.
Yeah, yes. I'm a proud stepfather.
Well, he picked a good spot going to Chapel Hill, they picked a good spot for him. He'll have fun down there, of course, with Brett.
Yeah, but my problem with all of this match day stuff isn't the pomp and circumstance after it all or finding where you're going, but it's just, look, we really didn't understand the whole process of match day, and I don't think Cakes understood the process of match day either.
I don't think he, from what I know, and then he kind of.
I just think that if I had a son who was figuring out where he's going to go to med school, figuring out what discipline he's going to study or try to be a doctor at, or what the interview process of the places for match day. I figure I would have a little more information on it.
Let me ask you a really stupid question, and someone who hears this is going to say, Drab, you're an idiot. I just don't know. Are all residencies at university hospitals?
I don't know.
It seems like every doctor person I've ever known, they end up doing a residency at some sort of university hospital.
I don't know the answer to that question. I wish I knew, but I'm not.
Does that
seems very plausible.
Because you're being accepted from another, you know, like
from a university.
Yeah. Like, would do hospitals would? But I know. Does Inova have residencies? I have literally no idea.
I don't know.
Okay, so it wasn't that stupid of a question.
It's not a stupid question. But we asked Cakes what would happen if all of a sudden, you know, like Kurt bombed his interview.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What happens if nobody picks you?
Yeah. He didn't know. Does he get to pick the discipline? Because I know he's in family medicine. Or you could do anesthesiology. Like, do they pick that?
Let me ask you something.
Or are you assigned to that?
Yeah. Do you think you could be a doctor?
No.
Really?
You mean like...
Like restart the clock.
Like go back to young Valdez.
Here's what you get. You get automatically accepted as a pre-med student at University of Maryland. You're a freshman. You get a chance to do the whole thing all over again. First day of college. Can you do it? Are you smart enough?
Am I smart enough?
Are you smart enough to go through 4 years of college at University of Maryland, get accepted into a med school, go through the med school process, and into your residency?
No.
You're not?
I think very highly of myself.
I know you do.
But I don't think I could do it.
Okay, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I was talking to a doctor at some point in the last year. He made it very well known to me, if that's the right way to say this, that most doctors are dummies. And I'm even talking like book smart. They're not even necessarily book smart. He says doctors can do one thing really well.
Is memory?
Oh, it's my, I don't know who it is, but it's not important. Memory. They can, it's all memorization and knowing how to study. If you learn how to study.
I was always good at that.
No. You have great memory. I would say you have a great memory.
The problem is that
you have to learn the racket of learning how to study. There's a certain way to study, and if you figure it out and you have a good memory.
Flashcards.
I think maybe it is flashcards. Anybody can do it. That's what I was told.
That's what every pre-med student on Ellicott 8, mm-hmm. all they did was walk around with their flashcards nonstop. Big old flashcard parties.
I mean, if you're a true genius, shouldn't you be able to just... Like patch atoms, you know what I mean? Like you don't really study. Okay, you just kind of you breeze through it and you got it and you figured it out. Like you're just next level. If you're just studying 40 hours a day, are you really that much smarter than anybody?
Drabs watch too much Catch Me If You...
yeah, of course,
do you concur?
How'd you pass the bar? I studied 2 weeks.
Can you concur? Do you concur?
Do you concur? I concur.
That's where that's coming from. I don't think so, just because it's the volume of work. It would take away from social time.
Well, of course. Yeah, you got to be willing to make sacrifices.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
You're too much into drinking beer and hanging out with the bros.
Yeah, I was too busy majoring in
football. I think you're smart. I'm telling you right now, I think you're smart enough to be a doctor.
That's very...
Discipline, I don't know.
That's very nice of you. That's probably the nicest thing you've ever said.
I just said you don't have to be that smart to be a doctor. I just said that. But you are smart enough to be a doctor, okay? I don't know. I always said you're smarter than me.
What would be my expertise?
Urologist. Urologist, okay.
All right.
You think penises are funny. You're intrigued by them. You're not turned off by them. You're not too serious.
I know my way around a c-
Yeah. Right? Isn't that you could do that.
I think you'd be sized
every time some guy dropped his pants. He wanted to see how big his is.
I would be sized. I would be sized like Seinfeld. I'd meant it for the jokes.
Yeah, just nonstop.
Dong humor.
And then people always say the dream is gynecologist. And I think I told the junkies recently and that would be the last kind of doctor I'd want to be.
I would be immune to vagina.
You would just see
so many car accidents
and gross, nasty diseases or whatever happens down there. Yeast infections. I would be enough to make me never want to have sex ever again.
The smell, yeah.
I couldn't do it.
A billion different smells. I love exotic smells.
I love women too much to be a gynecologist.
I respect women too much. We put you on a pedestal.
It would ruin it for me.
Just let you know, women, we put you on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
to so that we don't want to look down.
Let me tell you, there's nothing sexy about that chair that they sit in.
Oh, with the straps?
Yeah, the straps, the spread them out. There's nothing hot about that. I know there's a porn version out there.
No, there is?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's clearly like fake or whatever. But
what, is the guy a doctor?
Yeah, he's a doctor. He's doing a, he's like a gynecologist.
Hey, can you send me some
sure,
links?
Sure, I'll find it. But I've never once watched it and been like, oh, this is hot. It's always uncomfortable for me.
I would like to be a dermatologist.
A bit ironic coming from you with your vitiligo.
A legend.
Oh, your legend's vitiligo.
Well, I get a kick out of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh yeah, you do like the exploding zits. Yeah. And watching that on TV. Okay.
So I'm into that. What about Dr. Now? That's the guy who's
on. Oh, the gastroenterologist.
Is that what it is? He's a gastro. Gastroenterologist.
Yeah, the lap band guy.
Yeah, wouldn't that make you feel good?
No,
helping out big fatties.
How do I say this?
It's beneath you.
It grosses me out. I can't. A 900-pound person coming in here.
I feel like that's the easiest type of doctor, because all doctor now does is go, you need to cut down on your calories and eat more protein.
Yeah, he's probably not like...
It's not rocket science.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
He has some heifer that comes on and
he's not an oncologist trying to figure out if it's...
That weighs 623 pounds. All he has to do is go, you need to cut back on your carbs and fat.
Yeah. Probably he's got a lot of free time. Like, he's not spending his weekends stressing out about his job. That's a good one. Okay, I'll give you that. Anything, again, I'm not...
What about a podiatrist?
And the foot doctor? Yeah. No, that's too boring.
Cardiologist, too hard. Neurologist, too hard.
What about... I'm intrigued by my hair transplant doctor. I've met with.
What are those called?
I don't even know what they're called, because the guy that I went and saw last time, he was a urologist like a year ago.
So he just switched?
He just switched.
You can do that?
You can do that.
He entered the portal.
He entered the portal. I don't know what they call themselves, but I'd have to ask.
What about orthoscopic, not surgeon, but... a person that deals with joints like knees, ankles.
Boring. That's boring. That's called a chiropractor. All right. Yeah, I think you'd make a good dermatologist.
Thank you.
I mean, you would have to take care of your skin better. But
what do you
don't have great skin. It's a little weathered. You spent a lot of time on the golf course. Not a lot of sun lotion.
All right, hold on. What do you mean?
You're a little weathered. That's all. Your face is a little red. You look a little older than you really are. You have to start taking care of yourself. I don't ever see you put on lotion.
Wait, hold on. What do you see outside?
Do you have cracked heels and all that?
No, I have great foot skin.
Let me see your hands.
Yeah, all right. Look.
They do actually look kind of good. They do look pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. I just have a weather face.
Your face, yeah. You got to put some lotion on your face. You got suntan lotion on your face.
It just looks like I went through the ringer.
Yeah. All right. Well, your cakes is just a bit of a donk. And need to learn more about.
That was just my pet peeve with cakes is that we had a billion questions for him.
He couldn't answer anything.
And we were even more uninformed, or not more uninformed, same amount of uninformed as we were 5 minutes after talking to him.
It's kind of like listening to Bit Season.
Yeah, kind of.
Just as uninformed after as you were before.
Yeah, but we made you laugh.
What about Cakes' behavior at the Wizards game? Was that not embarrassing for the show? I think he was there representing the show.
Here's the thing. We can't be mad because...
Nobody else went?
Yeah, nobody else went.
We weren't invited.
That is true. We were not invited. Talent only. Even though I consider myself talent, since we do this podcast.
Well, I think we were invited last minute, but that was an invitation.
Yeah, that's so we could fill the seats.
Yeah, there were extra tickets, so they asked the producers if they wanted to go.
I felt like it's just, here's Cakes is antisocial. He just is. Unless he knows you, like unless he has a relationship with you, he really doesn't want to small talk with you. And yesterday at the Roadhouse thing, that's Cakes's like biggest fear in the world.
Just being stuck with a listener.
It's just being passed along from listener to listener, doing small talk.
He's good at it. Why would he even care?
I know he's good at it, mm-hmm. but for some reason, he feels like it's not beneath him, but he gets like he feels like he has to be on or something.
EB, not good at it. Lurch, no. not good at
no,
it.
No, Jason, fantastic at it.
No.
No, when he's cornered, and has to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing at it. He's the expert schmoozer.
Yeah, but that's with rich people.
No. But I know. But
with
all
donks,
I know.
But all he has donks to do, and you know,
all he has to do is turn it on. That's the thing. Is that he mm-hmm. had? It's just it's a want to turn it on. You
okay.
know what I mean?
All right.
Like whenever Jason has to have a conversation with someone, he's amazing at it.
Mm-hmm.
Always asks about them. I've noticed that about Jason. It's like he's on a date. He's asking questions about the other person, about what they do.
To get them talking?
Yeah, it gets them talking.
Mm.
And that's what Cakes needs to learn.
Do you not... Were you not almost knocked over by the irony of JP saying he doesn't like small talk? The guy... when we were listening to this, or here he's talking, I go, Valdez, are you hearing this? JP, Mr. Flame, is he
the history of the show?
The guy talks endlessly about anything.
Who wrote
doesn't like small talk? Are you kidding me?
The author of two books.
You can't. I love JP. You can't get away from him. Sometimes he just flames you to death with small talk.
I imagine JP protecting the Roadhouse by flaming Conor McGregor.
Right. That was out there. No, I would never expect JP to say he doesn't like small talk.
My theory is if Cakes took a page out of the Jason playbook,
mm-hmm.
and because I feel like Cakes doesn't like to be interviewed, and I feel like that's the setting that he feels mm-hmm. he's in.
He needs to turn it around.
He needs to turn the tables. And if he just starts asking questions,
right.
I'm sure he knows the question or the answer to his questions already. But all he has to do is just ask the question. That's the whole underlying theme of small talk is, hey, so how long you been producing the Junkies?
Yeah, I've been producing the Junkies since March of 2012. How long you been listening for?
See?
There you go.
It's that easy.
All right. Hey, we got March Madness tipping off in like 3 minutes. So Valdez and I will be distracted if it goes on in any longer. And we're going to cut it a little bit short here, but we wanted to make sure we got in and did a little bit of a show for you guys and for ourselves.
And we got to remind you that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports Matt, and Matt supports Bit Season. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code Bit Season for 10% off every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy.
If you haven't ordered Don't Sleep before, hit up some of the employees here, because this week we put out some of the Don't Sleeps on the table, some of the energy shots, so a little sampling for everybody, and they went so quick. Everyone's crushing the Don't Sleep around here.
Yes.
So, Mike, everyone here loves it. You guys, if you haven't checked it out, go to don'tsleepenergy.com, get yourself a pack.
See you next episode.
All right, guys, have a great weekend and enjoy the games. Take care.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.